for such a time, bringing the fountains of God's work to all the servants and saints. Hosted by Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead, author, teacher, founder, and senior congregational leader of Arrowhead Messianic Congregation in Peoria. And now, Rabbi Moorhead.
Shalom, shalom, shamashim, kodashim, shel elyon to the saints and servants of the Most High God, peace and prosperity and good health to you today. I'm glad to be with you as we continue talking about God's Word. But before I even start on that, there's a couple of things I want to mention. You know, we're right in the middle of this coronavirus plague that's taking place right now. And it's like a ghost town around here. You know, I never was able to get the radio station so fast as I did today. Very few people on the freeway. So it's interesting times. You know, everybody's questioning about this. What is this of God, or is this just a living sickness in the world? It just happens to be. Who knows for sure? But there is a scripture I want to read to you out of 2 Chronicles 7, beginning with verse 13. This is the scenario here is God is talking to Solomon about the dedication of the temple and about saying that if you obey me, then everything will go well with you. But if you don't, things can happen to you. And this is where it starts in verse 13. If I shut up the heaven that there be no rain, that would be a drought. And of course, this world's been experiencing drought in certain areas around the world, particularly Southern California and Australia, been having severe fires because of droughts. If I command the locust to devour the land, he commands the locust. What's happening right now in the Mideast is biblical swarms of locusts flying across the east to the Mideast to Africa and consuming the crops like crazy, just millions and millions of locusts. They say it's like a biblical plague. And then the last part of that verse 13 says, or if I send pestilence among my people. You know, pestilence is disease and plagues. And this is what the coronavirus concept is. So the very three things that God said he will send upon the earth if people don't obey him, we're experiencing those things right now. But when we get to verse 14, it says, if my people, he's talking about my people, which are called by my name. So if you are a believer and you call upon the name of the Lord, he's not talking about unbelievers. You're not talking about atheists. He's not talking about pagans. He's not talking about heathens. He's talking about his people that are called by his name. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. So God, if these plagues are from the Lord, he says, if my people, those who call upon his name, you know, will humble themselves and turn to him, he will heal their land. And so here we have a key right now. How are we going to get rid of this coronavirus? How's this all going to happen? God will get rid of it if his people would turn to him with repentance and stop their wicked ways. This is what it's saying here in 2 Chronicles 7, verses 13 through 14. We need to understand, you know, that God is not happy with the world. You know, we learn in the scriptures that God is angry. He's particularly angry with the wicked, and he's angry with those that hurt his children, like China and Iran. And those kind of countries are getting really hit super hard with this coronavirus right now. God doesn't like this. But us that believe and call upon the name of the Lord, we need to humble ourselves and pray, seek his face. This is why I love this president so much that he called for a day of prayer, and they have prayer meetings, and they have Bible studies. This is an awesome president we have, President Trump. I love this man. And whether you do or not, that's your opinion, but I love this guy. He's just down-to-earth type of guy. He tells it like it is, and being a businessman, his heart has really changed over the years from what it used to be as a wealthy playboy. But he has really changed, and I think he surrounded himself with good, godly men. And that's why he said he wanted to see this plague over and ended by and all the restrictions by Easter, because he wants people to worship God on Easter or Passover. I call it Passover or Resurrection Sunday. But he wants people to worship God. And that's an awesome president that does that. And so, folks, we want this plague to end. You got to take some pills. And those pills are spiritual pills. And you got to take them. And those spiritual pills would be humble yourself, pray, seek his face, turn from wicked ways. Then God will hear from heaven and heal our land. This is very, very important to understand. You know, this is how you stop a plague. You know, and you know, when we start doing things like that, then we start seeing, you know, maybe all of a sudden we've had breakthroughs in vaccines. We see breakthroughs in medication. We see breakthroughs, and we start to see this virus go away. But people have got to humble themselves before the Lord and seek his face. This is so, so important. This is serious business, very serious business. It was like a ghost town driving in here this morning. Everybody's afraid. There's a lot of fear. There is no fear in the perfect love of God. We've got to remember that. So when a heart is right with God, there is no fear. And we cannot let fear overwhelm us. We have to trust in God. And the problem is people don't trust in God because their heart's not right. They may say, I believe and I do this. You know, yeah, I read the Bible. I go to church. I do all these kind of things. But they don't truly trust God. And if you don't truly trust God, then fear will begin to creep up. And in the Bible, and particularly in Revelation, it says, the fearful will not enter the new Jerusalem. Yeah, let me repeat that again. The fearful will not enter the new Jerusalem. So not only, you know, the wicked won't enter that city, but neither will the fearful. Because fear is the opposite of faith. Are we a faithful people or not? And if we are a faithful people, trust in what God says, act on it. We must act on it and walk in his light and walk in his glory. That's particularly important to understand how this works. So anyway, that's my little intro this morning before we get into God's word. And I hope you're having a wonderful week. And I hope that you're being blessed by God's word and being blessed by God's presence and his Holy Spirit. Today we're going to be talking about Psalms 3, and I'll be going through this line by line in Psalms 3, so join with me here. If you got your Bibles, open them up to Psalms 3, and we will start going through these things here. It says here, Lord, how are they increased? This is the first verse. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me, and many are they that rise up against me? You know, this is a Psalm of David, and he's talking about his enemies. And how they've increased on all sides, and how they, even his own family has turned on him, and his son Absalom has turned on him, as we see in 2 Samuel 15, verse 13, that David had to flee Jerusalem because Absalom was marching in with the army of Israel, and David had to flee Jerusalem because his son was taken over. But that was short-lived, but nonetheless, David was saying this psalm at the time about, you know, how they have increased that trouble me. So the nation of Israel is beginning to turn on David. And you can also look at this as other type of enemies, like the sickness of the coronavirus and things like that, you know, how they have increased. So when we pray like David prayed, you know, when we all sing that song, we all pray like David prayed. Are we praying against this coronavirus? Are we praying against the enemies that surround us? Are we praying against those that want to destroy us? I was reading this morning's news that China was using this coronavirus as an excuse to tear down the churches in China. And they're tearing down the buildings. The buildings have been there a long time even. China is really turned. Here you think during this plague that they'd back off a little bit. But no, they're increasing their persecution against believers and tearing down the churches in China. This does not make God happy. God is angry. And we must understand that God does not like the persecution of his saints. He doesn't like the persecution of his people. And we got to trust in him that God will eventually, create an avenging against that. You know, this is what it says in the Bible. We don't avenge, but God will avenge. And David, many times in his Psalms, will say, Lord, avenge me. Lord, take care of this situation. and you know, destroy my enemies. And there's nothing wrong with praying that way when these people are outright enemies trying to destroy you. Verse 2 says, many there be that say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. The word Selah is just a musical connotation, like a break or a pause or something. But it says here, there is no help for him in God. So many are saying that God has turned his back on David. And so there is no help for him. You can see this in 2 Samuel verses 16, 5 through 8, that one of the relatives of King Saul named Shammai, was David was fleeing Jerusalem, started throwing rocks at David and yelling at David, you bloody man, you deserve this, God is against you. So here even David's enemies are declaring that God is against you, that God no longer wants to support you, that God no longer wants to love you. And folks, sometimes we hear these kind of words, you know, in our mind, you know, think because we're suffering, or we're having a hard time, or we're sick, or we're having injustice. God is not with me. God is not with me. Believe you me, he is with you. If he is your Lord and you are serving him, he is with you. And sometimes we go through these trials and tribulations at all time. This Shammai, relative of Saul, was throwing rocks at David, calling him a bloody man, also calling him the son of Belial, which is saying the same thing as son of Satan. And so David was hearing all these words, and one of David's men wanted to cut the head off of Shammai for saying that. David said, no, let him alone, let him alone. God put those words in his mouth, leave him alone. So he left him alone. But make a long story short, when David returned after the death of Absalom to Jerusalem, the same man, Shammai, came running up to David and fell at his feet and repented and asked for forgiveness, and David forgave him, this relative of Saul. So we see how quickly things can turn around when God gets involved. And but this is what was happening here, that says that God, there is no help for David and God. The people are yelling that. God is against you. God is against you. I've had people tell me that myself sometimes when I've gone through some persecutions and tribulations, that they say, well, God is not with you now. And I go, why? Why would you say something like that? Why would you say, what have I done? You know, why would this, you say something that God is not with me just because I'm experiencing some bad times? We all experience bad times. Sometimes it's trials and testings. God is watching to see what we're going to do. But to tell somebody that God is not with them anymore when they've served God all their life, that's like a dagger through the heart. Verse 3. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of mine head. Wow, I love this scripture. He is a shield, you know, which is a defense, a protector, and he's a lifter of the head, that he will exalt and rise up my head. You know, when we're repenting before God, you know, we put our face to the ground, or we drop our head and all that kind of stuff. God puts his hand under our chin and lifts our head back up, where we look up into the heavens and realize that God is there and God is listening and God desires the best for us. So we have to remember that he is the lifter of our head. So if you're going through hard times, you know, just open your eyes up to heaven and look up. Look up. He is the lifter of our head, and listen to God and believe that God will hear your prayers. If you don't think God is hearing your prayers, then you need to repent, because that means there's something in your heart that's blocking you from having that faith and understanding that he is listening. But God is a lifter of our head. Verse 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. So David cried unto the Lord. You know, this is all part of the whole, all the Psalms of David. You can see a pattern here. That David, when he would pray out loud. When David would pray, he would sometimes even shout it. But, you know, when our habit today of praying in silence is not always the way God wants us to pray. Sometimes he wants us to cry out to him. Sometimes he wants us to shout out to him. Sometimes, you know, he wants us to be passionate in our voice, passionate in our hearts and minds to reach out to God. And you can't show that kind of passion when you just bow your head and pray in your thoughts and minds. It's better to pray outward and loud and passionately for him to hear. And you, throughout Psalms, you can hear David just passionately praising and praying to God constantly. And then David would finish the Psalms, I know he heard my voice. Because it's like David was believed that he had to wake God up or something. But David would finish it knowing that God heard his voice. And we have to do that. And he heard me out of his holy hill. This is talking about the place where he dwells. The Lord dwells. Verse 5, and I laid me down and slept, and I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. What the verse 5 is talking about here is that David got peace with the Lord. He got peace, and he knew that he would sleep well. So I laid me down and slept. A lot of times when we don't have peace in our heart, and our heart's troubled or our mind's troubled, we roll around in bed, we just can't get a good night's sleep, we're up a lot. But David knew when he called unto God that he was lifted of the head, and he cried unto him. He said, I laid me down and slept. David suddenly had confidence that God heard his cry, and he had confidence that the peace of God would flow down upon him, and confidence that God would take action to whatever it was he prayed for. And that was faith that David had at that time. Verse 6, I will not be afraid of 10,000 people that have set themselves against me round about. So David here starts it off this Psalms about talking about all the people surrounding him and that are troubling him. Right here in verse 6, he says, I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people. That word 10,000 people in Hebrew just means multitudes, myriads. It doesn't necessarily mean a number of 10,000. It could be millions, whatever. But it says, I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that set themselves against me round about. So whether we are dealing with a virus or a plague or actual physical enemies, do not be afraid. Understand that God is saying, I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people. David is saying this through the Holy Spirit that set themselves against me round about. And you can see that now in the country today, everybody running every which way, scared to death because of this virus. We don't act foolishly. We take the right steps. We take the right directions, and not so we don't catch this virus. We don't act foolish, and we don't tempt the Lord. But on the other hand, we don't be afraid either. We're not afraid of 10,000 of millions of people, and neither are we afraid of a virus. So we must understand that we live our lives in a protective way because we don't want to tempt God, but we should not show fear whatsoever. Verse 7, Arise, O Lord, and save me, O my God, for you have smitten all mine enemies upon the cheek bone, and you have broken the teeth of the ungodly. So, do you have that kind of faith, David's faith? Do you have that kind of faith that you could suddenly humble yourselves and pray before God in a loud fashion, and all of a sudden your faith just builds up and wells up inside of you, and you just know that God heard you, and not only did he hear you, he was going to take action according to your prayer. That's how we need to pray. We need to understand that's exactly how God wants us to pray. And folks, prayer is a weapon of the soul. You know, the Bible actually says, that God does not hear the prayer of the wicked. Now, I know people get all stirred up about that scripture, to whatever. That's God's business. It's not our business. I'm just telling you what he says. He does not hear the prayers of the wicked. But of the righteous, he does. And if you're a believer in the Lord and serve the Lord and call upon his name, you're considered a saint. You're considered one of the righteous. He will hear your prayer. So pray like David prayed. This is so important that we do these things and dance like David danced and praise like David praised. All these things. David is our example how we are supposed to walk in the Lord. It's an amazing thing. So right here in verse 7, David is saying, Arise, O Lord. In other words, jump up, Lord. Stand up. Perform. Carry out your word. All these things so we can actually ask the Lord. Even today, arise, O Lord, and take care of this coronavirus. Arise, O Lord, against our enemies. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone, and you have broken the teeth of the ungodly. So this is what David is praying, and God does these things. But he's waiting for his people. He's waiting for his people to take action. Like I said, prayer is a weapon of the soul. John Wesley, the great evangelist, John Wesley that started the Methodist Church turned around and said, you know, God would do nothing except by prayer. We need to understand that. You want some kind of action? You want something from God? Are you praying? God just kind of sits there, like David says, arise, O Lord. You know, so the Lord just kind of sits there and goes, when are my people going to have faith and reach out to me? When are my people going to have a strong belief that I will hear them, that I love them, that I want to answer their prayers? And you can see the Lord just sitting there looking and waiting and waiting and waiting. And like King David, you know, cried out to the Lord with passion, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. And of course, it happened. And so Absalom that chased David out of Jerusalem was killed, and David returned back to Jerusalem to the praise of the people. And even at Shimei, the relative of Saul, fell at his feet. So even if God doesn't destroy all your enemies, they will bow at your feet. And that's actually very scriptural, that the enemies will bow at our feet for those who call upon the name of the Lord. We may not see that today. We may not see that anytime soon. But there's a day coming where the enemies will bow at our feet. And that's very scriptural. And it's not to be taken in a prideful way. It's to be taken in a humble way, understanding that God will avenge. God does avenge. And, you know, the battle is the Lord's, we learn. The battle is the Lord's. Let the Lord take the battle. And he will do what is necessary. And he will lift us up. He will lift our heads up. Verse 8, salvation belongs unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon your people, Selah. Salvation is the Lord's. Salvation belongs to the Lord. We are saved by the grace and mercy of God. But once we are saved, we are required to do good deeds. We are required to do good works. So many people look at that as that, like that's a bad word, works, when you say works. Well, that's scriptural. Tells us that we are called to good deeds. Scripture tells us that. We cannot by our works get saved, but once we are saved, we are required to do good works, good deeds, take action, have faith, and move mountains. That's what we're required to do. And we have to understand that's the way it works with God. And so have faith, folks. Have faith that we will win this because we are God's people who are called by his name. We will win against this, whether it be physical enemies or a virus enemy or whatever it might be. You know, we don't see any end of this virus. It seems to be exploding around the world today. Could very well be, like I mentioned earlier, a plague or a pestilence that God has sent upon the world because of the world's unbelief and the world's paganism and hatred and so many things. God does not hear the prayer of the wicked, but he does hear the prayer of the righteous and of the saints. So are you one of the righteous? Are you the righteousness of God? Are you the unleavened of God? As Apostle Paul says, Christ is our Passover, and you are unleavened. Unleavened, we represented righteousness. And so we are the unleavened bread of the Lord because of Christ. Call upon Christ, call upon Jesus, call upon Messiah, call upon Mashiach, if you want to say it in Hebrew. He is our Savior. You know, and you could call upon, you could say Jesus, you could say Yeshua, you could say Jesus, whatever you want to say. He knows who you are talking about if you're talking about him. We're not into, you know, this legalism about the right name to say. That's nonsense. And so he wants us to call upon him, folks. So call upon him this day, and he will bless you. Bless the Lord. Glad to be with you today. I'll talk to you next week. May you be of good health. Shalom, shalom, and shalom. God bless.
For Such a Time with Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead. You can join them Friday nights at 7 p.m. or Saturday mornings at 10:17. Arrowhead Messianic Congregation is located at 10738 North 75th Avenue in Peoria. Find us online at myamc.org. That's myamc.org. Until next week, thank you for listening to for such a time.